Hello, and welcome to our special New Year's edition of In the Limelight, Vanity Fair's entertainment and pop culture podcast. I'm Josh Duboff, Vanity Fair senior writer, and I'm here with Julie Miller, Vanity Fair senior Hollywood writer.
To help us celebrate the holiday, we've invited one of our favorite co-workers, Vanity Fair film critic and Little Gold Men co-host Richard Lawson.
Hello.
Richard's of no relation to Beyonce's stepfather, the other Richard Lawson, but I am desperate to know, because I don't think we've ever talked about this, Richard. What's it like having the same name as Tina Knowles' husband?
I mean, it's big. You know, it's funny because I've been aware of that family because Bianca Lawson, Richard Lawson's daughter, was on Saved by the Bell, the New Class and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I was like, oh, cool, she has my last name. And then I realized that her father's name was Richard many years later, who's also an actor. He was in Poltergeist, I believe.
Wow.
Anyway, so, but he wasn't really a famous person. He had like an acting school in LA, or has still. But then he started this relationship with Tina Knowles. And all of a sudden, like, I can't Google myself. I can't search myself on Tumblr. You know, I get a lot of, especially on Instagram, I get tagged a lot. And it's someone who like took his acting class being like, thanks, Richard Lawson. And it's like, no, I wish that I taught you how to act, but it wasn't me.
So have you ever had to clarify? Has anyone ever emailed you for like, they want Richard Lawson to promote their new like egg water or something? And then like, you have to say, you know, like, actually it's not me, or does that never happen?
No, I get a lot of emails that are meant for me about promoting egg water. And I do. No.
Egg water. By the way, the yeah. most common example for these yeah. sort of things.
No, I don't get any emails, but I get a lot of tweets. Either they're just mentioning me, or they're asking me questions about either Beyonce's mom or about acting class or whatever. And I usually sort of as kindly as possible say like, oh, you have the wrong one. And, you know, sometimes I'll at the real one. I don't know if he's aware of me. But I feel like at this point, there's been enough confusion. He must
be. He has to be, right? I mean,
he has to be. I just want to know what it's going to take to bring you two together.
I have to marry into the family. I think. I don't know. Maybe is there like a
Richard's going to steal Solange away from?
Oh, I would happily do that. Happily. She's great. I think that would be a great marriage.
I could see that actually working out really well. You guys just like hanging out on a Sunday afternoon.
And I like to wear lots of flowy white outfits and, you know.
I could see Richard in the tableau of Solange's wedding, of like where they're all wearing those like jumpsuit gowns.
Yeah, maybe I'll just Photoshop myself in.
How did Richard and Tina meet? Do we know this?
I don't know. I don't know the backstory. I should do
Julie,
my homework.
I feel like you would. Do we know? Because like the psychology of like a journeyman actor suddenly marrying into Beyonce's family is like a very interesting dynamic to me. Because like all of a sudden now he must have to go everywhere with insane amounts of paparazzi and, you know, whatever. But it's not because of any great acting gig or anything. It's literally just because he married Tina.
You know, I've followed him sort of via Instagram or whatever, because I'm just kind of curious what his life is like, because he took this kind of
name.
Big status leap. And he has my name. He seems to not be like after it for the fame or anything. He just seems like kind of a normal guy who just happens to be in love with the mother of the most famous woman in the world.
Has it messed up your Google alert situation?
Oh, it's horrible.
Like,
yeah.
So now do you get pings?
Oh, I mean, I don't have those turned on anymore, because like many writers, I'm not going to accuse either of you of doing it, but like I've never looked up anything I've ever done in my life. But I search myself, see if like people are talking about something I wrote, and I have to be very specific now. I can't just search Richard Lawson. It used to be I could. But now I have to be like Vanity Fair or whatever. You know, I have to be very specific.
Would you ever think about using a middle? What's your middle name?
I have two, Anthony and Michael. So A.M.
I didn't know. You're like royalty, Richard. I
yeah.
did not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like that would be strange now to bring that out into the...
It would be strange. And also, this is something... So years ago, when I was a senior in college and like Gmail was first a thing, and you had to get invitations from somebody.
Right.
You know? So I was like an early person on Gmail, but someone had already taken Richard.Lawson, someone had taken R. Lawson or whatever. And so I was going to do my initials, but it's R.A.M. Lawson. It would just look like Ram Lawson. And I was like, I don't feel comfortable with that. So I just used my middle initials. But no, I don't think at this point it would be hard. But just to distinguish myself. But I mean, it makes sense. Like, remember when Vanessa Williams became Vanessa A. Williams for a while, because a Melrose Place actress also named Vanessa Williams had taken the SAG thing.
Or like Michael B. Jordan, I guess, had to do that.
Right, because of the basketball player.
That other guy, someone else named Michael Jordan, I think. I don't really know who he is.
Yeah. Well, I want Richard to stand his ground, because I feel like Richard had more Twitter followers.
He probably still does. Is the other Richard Lawson on Twitter?
I think he is. And let's take a look. You know, I think that we can both coexist. I just sometimes when I get tagged on Instagram, it leads to a lot of regrams, and that gets a little annoying. But Beyond that, let's see. Okay.
This, by the way, this also means Beyonce probably might be aware of our Richard Lawson. Because, right?
Yeah. Well, I would hope so.
If Richard, if there's ever like a big mess up and he mentions it to Tina, Tina will mention it to Beyonce on their weekly phone call or whatever. Right. And then she'll be aware of you.
Yeah, that's true.
We need there to be like a big mix up.
So Richard Lawson, the actor and Beyonce's stepfather, is at Mr. Richard Lawson, Mr. Richard Lawson. And he has 17,000 followers. So I have a few more than he does.
You have like... times
Richard's our Richard Lawson's being very modest. I know. So wow, you're more famous than Beyonce's stepfather, basically, is what we're trying to say.
Or I just tweet more. I mean, frankly.
Didn't you actually meet another Josh Dubois?
Oh yeah. Well, no, I haven't met him, but I mean, it's not the same as this situation in that the other Josh Dubois isn't famous, but
he's married to Michelle Williams's mom.
Yeah, right. He has the same name as me. He also lives in New York. He's a year older than me.
Whoa, really?
He went to UMass and I'm from Boston.
That's crazy.
And he has tried several times. God, now that I'm putting this out there just fully into the world, it's going to make us even come closer together. That it all started when my aunt emailed the other Josh Dubois, meaning to email me. So she made a mistake and it was like a kind of personal email, if I remember correctly. So then he somehow forwarded it to me and then that started this whole thing. And then he like friended me on Facebook. He wanted to meet up. What's very interesting about him is he was a professional mascot. So he was
really
like, so for UMass, he was out there in whatever like the Minuteman is, like whatever their team mascot is. He was drafted to be the Minuteman. And then he entered the professional leagues of mascots or whatever.
Is that still what he does?
No, I think now he's like in sports business or something. But like,
so you have a lot in common. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. I would love to meet him, I guess. I'd be curious. Like, my last name's a little odd. Like, you know, I have some funny nicknames. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like your name has something to do with your experience of the world and like how you... It'd be interesting.
Maybe. Mine is pretty common, especially in England. I was in a Facebook group for Richard Lawson's when I was in college.
What went down in that Facebook group?
Like one kid who organized it and invited everyone else, like tried to start like a little convo and then we all were like, meh. And I still feel bad about it 10 years later. But they're a lot, most of them are in England.
And Julie, your name is very common, right? I mean, have you met another Julie Miller in person?
I have not, but my dad is John Miller and my stepmom is Jane Miller. So there are really no efforts to really distinguish us.
You need to name your kid something really exotic, I think, just to...
Beyonce Miller, yeah.
There you go.
Well, was that hard making screen names and things like that, or no?
Makes it really hard. But I kind of like it for Google alerts. It's kind of harder to find me on the internet.
Mm. Oh, that's another way of looking at it, is that maybe Richard Lawson, the famous one, sort of protects me from things. I don't know. He's my shield.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. So I think also when we have Richard here, we want to make sure we talk about one of your areas of pop cultural expertise, which is the members of One Direction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. How did you chance upon... I feel like you've always written about it, but...
I was always interested in it because pretty soon after the band broke big, what, in like 2010, fans online started this whole thing where they thought that Harry Styles and Louis Tomlinson were in a sexual and romantic relationship. And I was like, oh, that's interesting that all these, like, you know, in theory, teenage girls who have crushes on these boys don't mind the idea that they're gay and in love with each other. I later found out that it's actually a lot of adult women. I mean, it is teenagers.
That's the bulk.
But a lot of the hardcore Larry shippers who are kind of mad at me these days. But I still, you know. So when I say Larry shippers, so Larry is a portmanteau of Louis and Harry. And shipper is like relationship. They just cut the relation off. And so they just call themselves shippers. So they're shippers for all kinds of things, for real people, for fictional characters. I would say that the Larry community is probably among the most vociferous of the shipping communities.
Why are they mad at you?
Oh, because I tweeted something about how I kind of didn't think it was real anymore. And I don't know.
But do you currently? Is this like a...
I don't know if I ever really thought about it. I mean, I think that I kind of gaslit myself. Like,
I love the idea that the other Richard Lawson, Mr. Richard Lawson, is probably getting all these angry emails.
Oh, man, you're right. So maybe they have talked about me and he's like, this idiot, Vanity Fair is
like,
ruining...
Who is Louis Tomlinson, Beyonce?
Right. So, yeah, I got interested in them in that regard and then, you know, sort of had written about them and would include at the, you know, usually at the end of a post, like a little bit of a wink to the Larry shippers and, you know, some little fanfic bit about Louis and Harry. And then it kind of got out of control because I didn't realize how, you know, devoted the fandom is. I don't really understand hardcore fandom in general. So I was like, oh, shoot, I stepped in something I shouldn't have. So I've backed away a little bit, but I still remain quietly invested, I guess you could say.
So wait, Richard, do people get mad at you because they don't want them to be gay together?
It's both. People who are really devoted to it and people who really don't like the idea. Like, they're both kind of equally intense. Some of it gets a little bit weird in terms of, like, gay politics, because it's a lot of straight women who, you know, are invested in this, and they're kind of lecturing me, a gay man, about how these things work. And it's like, well, actually, guys. But most of it is not, like, politically charged. I mean, it's kind of fun, except when it gets too intense.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, Perry and Louis are not happy about the whole thing, right? They shy away from any...
Yeah, I mean, I think that...
Didn't they comment on it once or something? And they were like, actually, like, no.
I think they tried to issue some sort of definitive thing a few years ago. I mean, I'm not, you know, a historian of One Direction exactly, but my understanding is that in the beginning, they kind of...
Like, played it up a little bit.
Yeah, they would
more.
Do little things at concerts or during interviews or whatever. And then I think that's since abated. I mean, they're not a band anymore, so.
Right.
Or they're on hiatus, excuse me. So, yeah, I think that they courted it a little bit and then it got so intense. You know, people have told me, like, via Twitter or whatever, that some people kind of harass women that Louis dates, and or I guess also women that Harry dates.
Yeah.
And Louis now has a baby. And there was this whole crazy conspiracy theory about the baby not being real. And that related to Larry shipping. So the whole thing, like anything on the internet, can kind of be an unwieldy beast at times.
Wow. Well, Richard, what do you think about Harry going full movie star with that Christopher Nolan movie Dunkirk? Have you seen any footage or anything?
I just the trailer that's out now. I'm really excited. I love when singers try to be actors. I think it's fascinating. Like when Rihanna was in Battleship, I was like, yes, more.
Yeah.
I actually have a friend who shot two scenes of Ocean's 8 with Rihanna.
Oh my God.
Which was like pretty amazing.
Wait, that's amazing.
So I'm excited about Harry because I don't know. I have this kind of intuition that he could be a good actor. One Direction did one video where they were like in costume playing characters. I don't know if you guys remember that. It was for Best Song Ever, I think.
Oh yeah.
And they were all pretty good, but Harry was really good, you know, so maybe he is an actor.
I feel like it's interesting that he's sort of laid low a little bit since the band split up. Like, Zayn's been very out there. Niall's been very out there.
Louis and Liam have been getting people pregnant.
Yeah, and he, like, you know, you don't see him that often. You don't hear that much about him. He, like, filmed this movie, you know, wherever he was sequestered.
Yeah.
I feel like that's an interesting, maybe good, smart move. I don't know, like, right?
Totally. I think that, you know, there were a couple long lens paparazzi shots of him on set because the big news was that he had cut his hair for the movie.
Right.
I feel like he has that in his contract that he can't mess with his hair, but so it's cut. It's
I guess for historical accuracy, there weren't a lot of soldiers running around with beautiful long manes of chestnut hair. You're right, Josh. Like, I think he has kind of retreated some, and I think that's probably, I mean, if he's shifting into being an actor, that's great because he means he can be a little more versatile.
Yeah.
But anyway, in the trailer, the sad thing is there's a shot of him underwater screaming, and I'm like, oh, are they going to kill Harry Styles? And someone said to me, I bet he dies in like the first 20 minutes of the movie.
The combination of things here is bizarre to me a little bit.
Yeah.
That, like, this is his first movie. It's like a Christopher Nolan movie, right? So it's like, it's not just like Rihanna doing Battleship, which is going to be kind of fun and silly.
This is like a serious
movie.
Yeah. It could be. I mean, it's you know, I wrote about it once when they announced the film, that I was like, I called it like a historical drama. And actually the publicist emailed me, was like, it's a historical action thriller. And I was like, oh, okay. So I don't know.
Maybe it's a little bit less. Yeah. It's more a summer blockbuster-y.
Right.
Yeah,
but Christopher Nolan doesn't stunt cast and he doesn't cast really bad actors, you know, so there must be something there. I'm sure that like the studio's thrilled because it raises the movie's profile. Not that it really needed much raising. But again, I have this weird feeling that he could be actually the real deal, which would be fun.
Yeah, really fun.
Richard, who's your favorite member of the band? Do you have one?
I mean, Harry. No, I mean, and he's cute, yeah. But, like, I think also in interviews, he's really funny. He's got a weird sense of humor. And he seems sort of both puckish and kind of playful, but also a kind of deeper thinker. So
he has this like cadence of his way of speaking that's like very appealing in this, like, I'm doing a great imitation of it right now.
If only you could see. Yeah.
Yeah. Really got into the whole character there. But there's just something, it's like he has this wisdom about him or something.
Right, exactly. They kind of beyond his years. Yes. I mean, you forget how young he is. He's like 22, I think.
I know. He's like
which
four,
is crazy. Yeah. But I mean, you know, that's I think that, and this is true of a lot of like British teen or child stars as they kind of grow up, like the Harry Potter kids. Britain just does a better job of raising those kids, you know. They just seem a little, I mean, not all, in all cases obviously, but like the One Direction kids so far don't seem malformed by fame or anything. Like, they actually seem pretty well adjusted.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard that before. That's a good think piece. I would read that.
So what do we think of Zayn since One Direction? I feel like he's been almost the most, I guess he left the band before everyone else obviously, but I feel like he's just been so out there with the GGD relationship, the new album. He like just did the song with Taylor Swift. In contrast to Harry, he's like burning really bright right now.
Yeah.
And like, I wonder what the long-term strategy he has going for him is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, there were always these rumblings about Zayn not wanting to be in the group, and that he refused to do the dancing when they tried to have them like choreographed a little bit. You know, he was self-conscious about that. You could read his sort of departure, like he was the first person to leave the band.
Yeah, right.
You could read it as him running as far away from boy band as he could, getting all the tattoos, doing sexy photo shoots, whatever.
Right.
But it also, in interviews again, and the music is good, like it seems genuine too. So I think maybe he's just always been this more, you know, edgy kind of entity, more so than like Niall, for example. You know, it's interesting to look at the two of them. Like Niall Horan is now this kind of sweet singer-songwriter in the, you know,
Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran vein, whereas Zayn is more, I don't know, who's this analog to Zayn? Like
almost like a Usher-y Chris Brown.
Yeah, like smoldering, yeah. Sexy. I mean, you know, he has the looks to support it. It works. But with the famous relationships and stuff with the Hadid, I don't know. But
that's only how I'm referring to Gigi from now on.
Who's the other one? Bella?
Who is the other one? Yeah.
No, it's just the Hadid.
Yeah, there's the Hadid and then there's no one else.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. How did they meet? Do we know? What's the backstory there?
Two publicists got... there is a story about this. It's like he saw her at a bar and like he said something flirty to her, but also it's kind of ridiculous. It's like the two of them are like these like physical specimens that don't exist anywhere else. So it sort of feels like everyone else in the bar just like kind of disintegrated into dust. And it was just Zayn and Gigi left.
The West Side Story dream ballet.
So like, I don't really feel like there had to be that much like wooing to be done.
Yeah.
I will say, though, very topical, because Gigi, just at lunch, we were looking at a snap that Gigi put up where she's kissing him in the back seat of a car and Zayn's like smoking a cigarette or a cigar or something.
A cigar?
It's not a cigar. It's not a cigar.
He has his Groucho glasses on.
But it's like very, it's like, I hesitate to say the word troubling, but he's like affectless and Gigi's just kind of like... Oh. Kissing, I don't know. I'm making it sound more like problematic and weird than
do you
it
think
is.
That you're that he's kind of a prop for her?
Yes, that's what I'm getting at, I think. And I feel like this maybe is how I've viewed their relationship from the beginning, of like she's more into it, is putting it too simply, but like, you know, and then he's just sort of like, okay, sure, this is nice, I'm getting more like Instagram followers from it or something.
Yeah,
but I don't even know if he's thinking about it that
maybe he just loves her that much, he doesn't mind.
The love is that pure.
Yeah. You know, they text each other and were like, should we be in a relationship? And they were like, obviously, look at us. So, but maybe it turned into true love.
I feel like Taylor's feelings about it interest me.
I'm sure she had.
Like, they've had a lot of like third wheel kind of style dates where like the three of them go out to dinner, which is like always, of course, a weird thing. But then you're like sitting across from Zayn and Gigi. Like,
what are you talking about? Like, I don't know.
Wait, so can you fill us in? So Liam also has had a very weird post. One Direction thing. His girlfriend is Cheryl Cole. Name I knew her by, but
yeah, from back in her like X Factor days. Yeah,
when
right?
I was at summer camp with her, she went by Cheryl Cole.
Right, but she's changed so much.
But the big story with her was that he auditioned for X Factor to get on One Direction.
Right.
He was 14, and Cheryl was a judge on the panel,
and like an adult,
and like yeah. Married even, right,
or I think
something.
So. Yeah,
he was 14 when they met, and now they're not only dating, but she's pregnant.
Yeah, so there were a lot of rumors that she was pregnant, and then they went to some public event and she was clearly with child. And
but I think still not like ever,
I don't think
confirmed.
They've like released a statement or anything. No,
she's the one who has the baby already. This is a different
Louis one. Has a baby with the like a someone he met at a party one night in LA. It's kind of a
weird yeah.
Okay.
But this actually is like a relationship.
Yeah,
and,
they're like dating.
Yeah.
And she's now pregnant.
So isn't it weird that in just a few months' time, two of the members of One Direction will be fathers?
Yeah, that is really strange. And I feel like isn't even being commented on. Isn't that really weird?
Well, they're just so young. You know, they're in their early 20s. It's just rare, you know, especially for people with like all this fame and money. It just feels like, you know, there's no rush. But, you know, if love is love again, you know.
Right. I need a daily newsletter to keep up on all these events.
I'm sure there is one you could subscribe to, or at least there's at least one.
Well, Richard, do you think they stay in touch?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I'm sure that there is a kind of varied dynamic between them. Like, Harry and Louis always did, or Louis always did seem close, you know, in what way, we don't know. So maybe they stay in touch. I bet you that Zayn is pretty removed from everybody. And I don't know. I feel like probably Liam is maybe more aloof too than the other ones, and like Niall's kind of goofy.
I could see Niall trying to get the group text going and no one really engages
like,
as much.
There's like one little kind of week back and forth, and then Zayn has the bubbles, but then he never And they never know what he was going to say.
Gigi's like, Zane, give me your phone.
And he's like, all right. Yeah. And that's the end of the chain.
Can I send this? Like, no, Gigi. Yeah, that feels right to me. Julia, do you have a One Direction favorite member or anything like that?
I'm taking this all in. I really don't know. This is a very big pop culture blind spot for me. So yeah. I've been absorbing this.
Well, if you're interested, there are, not that I've watched them, many YouTube videos that are like Harry and Louis cutest moments or Harry funniest fan interactions or whatever. Right. There's so many compilation videos and a lot of them are the same clips, but that's a good primer for you, Julie, if you're interested in learning more.
Are they going to get back together or no?
Harry and Louis?
the band, or
the
you
band.
Mean?
The band.
I think, I would imagine never, right? I don't know. But like, I feel like they could do with maybe the four who aren't Zayn, but I don't even think Harry would be so down for this because I feel like it's going to be like a Justin Timberlake situation where he tries to like disassociate.
Well, that's the thing. There are kind of two Justins in that group, you know, or it's a Justin and a JC Chazé who actually did well.
Right. Because I could see, the only thing I was going to say is I could see maybe in like 15 years they do like the reunion tour vibe, but I don't see Harry ever being down unless he really falls on hard times.
Yeah. And there's something that like, you know, they're kind of early boy band songs like You Don't Know You're Beautiful or whatever. Those were sort of corny and sort of, but the more their music kind of developed, it sort of shook off that kind of like cheesy boy band thing. And I feel like a reunion is sort of cheesy boy band. And I just don't really see them doing it. But,
right. But no, totally.
But, you know, maybe they'll have mortgages to pay and it'll happen. Yeah.
Like, you could be a One Direction historian. If like this all doesn't work out, you could write some sort of memoir on your days covering One Direction.
I mean, I've thought about writing a piece for the website about Larry fandom and like interviewing these people and being like, so what is the fuel behind? Like,
you might
what?
Be playing with fire.
But I've decided that I think I'm better just to leave well enough alone and let them have their thing. And
the other Richard Lawson is listening and like screaming, no, please.
Exactly.
I don't want any more angry tweets.
Right.
Well, Richard, while we have you here, I'm also curious, since you're the film critic for Vanity Fair, I wanted to get your holiday entertainment recommendations for the people maybe who have already had too much family time.
And yeah, need out.
Right. So what do you recommend?
Yeah, I feel like with family movies, people are always like, what can I see with my parents?
I guess it kind of depends on the parents. I think Hidden Figures, which will be in some theaters, but is opening wider in January. It's a good feel-good movie about, you know, these three women who worked for NASA and sort of didn't get their due in their day. So it's a nice kind of uplifting story. Very parent friendly, kid friendly too, for the most part. So I would say that if it's playing where you are, is like a sure thing down the middle kind of hit. I don't know. Fences is also good. It's kind of like a serious drama with some swears, but nothing beyond that. But if you want to leave the family behind, that's a trigger. I mean, I'll be very elevated about it. There's a German film called Tony Erdmann that is opening on Christmas Day that is very good. It's about 3 hours long, so you'll be out of the house for a long time.
That's good.
Or you can leave after an hour and then do something else for 2 hours and pretend you were at the movie, which is maybe something I've done in the past.
It was like, it had a really interesting things to say. About,
right,
like,
yeah. In German. but, you know, other than that, like, holiday-wise this year, it's weird. It's like Collateral Beauty, Star Wars, obviously.
Yeah, I was texting my brother yesterday about what we're going to see on Christmas. I was like, I don't know.
Like, it feels like the Oscar-y stuff kind of came out already, if that makes any sense. I guess La La Land is kind of opening in gradually, so it'll be like in a lot of theaters by Christmas. That's also probably pretty parent-friendly.
What's been your favorite? Did you have like your champion horse that you've just been really excited about?
This season, I think I really like Jackie a lot of movies that are out right now. Jackie and Manchester by the Sea, but then that movie's kind of plagued with some scandal now because of Casey Affleck. But I would say Jackie is my favorite of the bunch, but if you're going to go see that at Christmas with family, make sure you take like the artsy people in your family because it's a weird movie.
This is a good time to say, if you aren't listening to Little Gold Men, you should definitely be listening to it.
Oh, yeah.
Richard is on with also Mike Hogan, Katie Rich, and Joanna Robinson. They talk about films and the Oscar race and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, you guys talk about the celebrities. We talk about what the celebrities make, and it's a perfect combination. So we're covering it from all angles.
Like sibling friends. But trying to think, like, I feel like also now for me, there's so much of just like, oh, well, like binge some TV shows. I feel like the TV options have gotten so robust.
There's a lot. And I think, you know, there are some really cool things that came out toward the end of this year.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of things where it's like, oh, I'll catch up over Christmas kind of stuff.
Like Search Party, the TBS show.
I really want to
see
that.
It's made by a bunch of like cool, you know, well, they're now in LA, but one time, you know, Brooklynites. But it's kind of a mystery while also being a satire of millennials. That's really great. And that's, I think, all on Amazon right now, even though it's a TBS show. And then there's this really weird Netflix show called The OA that just premiered earlier this month. And It's a very strange sci-fi thing with Britt Marling, who is kind of this indie darling who disappeared for a while and now is back with this show. So if you have a taste for like very odd sci-fi, that could be a good binge. I watched it all in one sitting. So.
Wow. How many episodes?
Eight. So it's 8 hours. It's an 8-hour movie, really. It's, you know, that's kind of how they're billing it rather than a series.
Richard, I have a question because you watch so many high-minded things like German language movies. Right. What is guilty pleasure? Like if the FBI were coming to search your house, there was one thing you could remove from your DVR, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I know if I could remove something from my Netflix recently watched, I have, you know, a really grim taste for like the gay and lesbian section of Netflix. Like there are some really bad gay romance movies that are on there that I'll watch kind of like guiltily, like on a Sunday night or something. But my real guilty pleasure right now is something that I've watched in little installments on YouTube. And it's a Norwegian teen series called Skam, S-K-A-M, which means shame. And there's a gay plot line on the show between these two kids at a high school in Oslo, or a college, which is in Europe, it means something different, I guess. But people on YouTube will cut together just the gay plot line and then put English subtitles on it. And I have devoured that. And the season just ended.
It's just that plot line cut out.
Which is actually something that they do for a lot of shows. Like any show with a gay plot line, has cut it up and just sewn them together. That was my guilty pleasure this fall, was like this Norwegian teen series. And Degrassi's coming back on Netflix in January. So
wait, I can't believe we actually haven't even asked Richard about this yet. The patron saint of the podcast, Meghan Markle. Have you ever seen Suits, her show?
That's a great question. And because I listened to you guys talk about Suits and I'm like, I too have not
seen
Suits.
You've never seen an episode?
I've never seen one Suit.
Wow.
Nope.
Wow.
I don't know. I have feelings about that relationship because, you know.
Yeah. I'd love to hear your take on this.
I kind of like the surprise of it. Like, I like that, you know, he's thinking outside the gene pool of like British aristocracy. I like to imagine also that like there's some older member of the family, whether it's Camilla or, you know, the queen herself, who's just scandalized by this sort of an actress. You know, it's Wallace Simpson all over again.
She has a what? What's an Instagram?
Right. Like, except Meghan Markle's probably not a Nazi like Wallace Simpson was. So, yeah, I like that kind of drama of it. Right. And, you know, if The Crown continues to be a hit, that's going to be a great plot line in, I don't know, a few years.
I would love that.
And she can play herself.
Right, exactly. It'll be very meta.
It is just that, though. It's a great new plot line. It's like, it's a really good new infusion. What the royal stuff can get, you know, like George, Charlotte, Kate, William, they don't do anything that's so interesting.
Well, because it's also controlled, you know.
Right. Like, and Kate's like, can I speak? Like, you know.
Right. Where, can I live?
Yeah. And I feel like Meghan comes in and she's just like out, exactly, this outside force.
Mm-hmm. I wish that she was a little bit more, like her kind of lifestyle brand seems to be very like positive and like, you know, clean and friendly. I kind of wish that she had a little darkness to her, but I don't know if even Harry is allowed to do that. So
I love that she's American, love that she's biracial, love that she's a divorcee, hate the lifestyle blog.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
I mean, for a lifestyle like Instagram person to become a literal princess is like the apex of, you know.
No, the other lifestyle bloggers on Instagram have to get out of the game now. It's like
she won.
Like,
victory.
You can't put up an inspirational quote anymore. Like Meghan Markle's like done it
but
all.
That's what I also love about the story is that, you know, Harry has been this like hot commodity, most eligible bachelor in the world for, you know, a decade now. And, you know, all these people vying for him. And what was it going to be? Cressida Bonus? Was it going to be whoever? And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just like photo finish, here comes Meghan Markle. It's so perfect.
She's like, what? I did that? Yeah. Like,
oh, me? Like, I just imagine like her at a party and every other woman and gay man is staring daggers at her. And she's just like, well, I won.
She's like, do you want my organic flaxseed? Like, right. You know?
Yeah. Cold comfort from Meghan Markle.
That feels like a good transition. You know, we talk about some of these celebrities, how they celebrate their big occasions. We felt like it was appropriate to talk about what their New Year's resolutions might be. I think it's a good way to talk about where they are in general. We were going to do Meghan anyway, but I feel like Meghan's already, I mean, like, what else does she have? I mean, she's done it all, like, already. Yeah.
Her resolution is just keep going.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, she's hit the jackpot. As we talked about on last week's episode, she's the most Googled actress. Did you see that?
I didn't see that. That's
crazy. She's the most Googled actress above Angelina Jolie and Jennifer Lawrence, right?
Of 2016, all that traffic starting, like, November 1st.
I mean, she's done it all. I guess she probably wants to, like, get engaged at some point in 2017.
Right, but then she'd have to move to England, and well, how would that affect her acting career? But maybe it doesn't matter.
Oh my gosh, Suits, they'll move production to the
Oh, yeah, I liked when you guys were talking about how thrilled USA must be with this.
I mean, USA, it's like I think they're gonna break the fourth wall at a certain point. They're gonna be like, look. So like, you just went to London, girl. Like, tell like whoever. I don't even know what her character does. Or I feel like they're just gonna start talking to her as if she's Meghan Markle. What about Beyonce? What do we think Beyonce might be looking to in 2017?
She's another one in that category where she's done it all.
Yeah, I feel like she's going to... I want her to like veer.
I want her to go back to film acting.
Yes.
I think that would be exciting. Because whatever happened, she was going to be in The Star Is Born that Bradley Cooper was directing.
And now Gaga's it's Lady Gaga. Gaga's moved her way in, right?
Yeah, the butchest film project in history.
What was her last movie? Dreamgirls, Obsessed.
That Capitol Records movie.
Oh,
where she played a singer.
But she really hasn't tried recently to do anything that's been super
ambitious. No, it's been a few years.
Like, yeah.
And I think she's good.
Yeah.
I like her. And I think that, you know, there was a degree of acting in Lemonade with the voiceover that was so well done. I mean, the words, you know, were beautiful too. But like, so I don't know. I think that could be a good resolution.
I was about to say, her music videos are so, to me, like narrative and kind of like cinematic that it feels like that would be... I'm actually kind of surprised almost. I mean, maybe that is what's coming. Because like, I feel like that would be a natural thing for her.
All right, Richard, is she going to get an Oscar nomination for Lemonade? Is that even possible? Because that could be her resolution.
No, because it didn't play theatrically, sadly.
Right.
But I think given the right role, she could get an Oscar, you know, in a couple of years.
And then we have, I guess, Taylor Swift. I feel like she's going to have new music any minute now. So that's what I imagined her 2017 is going to be all about. Many people thought she was going to, because she's been on this like 2-year cycle.
Right.
And she did nothing. So people were like, oh, she's going to do like a surprise album in October to keep up with that.
Well, because then there was the Zayn song. So that sort of felt like maybe it was announcing something, but it doesn't seem to.
Which is tied to 50 Shades Darker, which is, which I think is like an interesting Taylor Swift move.
I should say so, yeah.
Because Zayn, it feels on brand for Zayn, right?
Completely.
I mean, like, he's been doing this kind of, like, sexual pseudo, you know? So I'm curious to see if this kind of... I mean, it was, like, that song was with Jack Antonoff, who Taylor's worked with before, so I imagine... It wasn't, like, such a musical departure, but I'm curious to see where she's going to go. What do you think,
Julie? I think she gets Zayn out there for, like, one of her holiday celebrations. Feature Zayn on her Instagram.
Oh, yeah, the Rhode Island house. I once got a second party invitation to the Rhode Island house.
How have I never heard this? And can you say more about why?
Well, yeah, I mean, who cares? Yes, I can.
Who cares?
So, no, I mean, I
knocked Richard's microphone.
I was going to stop myself, but I was it doesn't matter. So I'm Twitter friends with Jamie King. And
wow, this is like lead bearing left and right.
I was in Rhode Island a couple of years ago with my parents and my sister, and I saw on Instagram that they were all in the Rhode Island house. I think she'd just bought it. It was a few years ago at this point. And I DM'd Jamie and I was like, hey, I'm in Rhode Island too, a small world or whatever. And she wrote back and she was like, oh my God, you should come over. And I was like, I can't. And she said, well, next year, definitely. I mean, it was such an empty, like, non-invitation. But like,
why
couldn't
you?
I don't know. I wasn't just going to go ring her doorbell and be like, hey, Jamie invited me, who I've never met.
I don't know what I would do if I saw you on Taylor Swift's Instagram.
Can you imagine Richard in like a mannequin challenge on like Taylor Swift's Instagram account? Like, in some sort of like gold lame, like Taylor Swift outfits everyone when they enter. I would love that.
Pulling cookies out of the oven, smiling at the camera.
Richard going down the water slide for like Tame Erica or whatever.
Yeah, so that was crazy. I thought about the next year following up on it, but then I sort of just didn't. And I don't think that Jamie King was there that year.
You should do so over the holidays. Like, do it over Christmas.
Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, you know, I think the first step is to meet Jamie King and become friends with her that's off Twitter and then go from there. Not that I would be using Jamie King, but I have someone who I think should make a resolution if I'm able to
offer
one up.
Yeah.
So I think that in 2017, Anna Kendrick should resolve to have a little more self-confidence. She's not a scrappy little nobody. She's an Oscar-nominated movie star, and she should own that.
Wow. I'm blown away. I think that's a great note to end on. Richard, it was so nice to have you here today.
Thanks. This was really fun.
Yeah, it was great.
And you guys are doing a great... I love the podcast. It's great, and everyone should rate and review and all that.
Oh, thanks, Richard. On that note, this does it for this week's In the Limelight. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please remember to rate, review, do whatever else on iTunes. It helps us find new listeners.
Also, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at In the Limelight. You can also follow us individually. I'm at Julie W. Miller.
And I'm Jay Duboff. And Richard is
Rylaws.
R-I-L-A-W-S. Also, while you're at it, you can follow Beyonce's stepfather, Richard Lawson, on Twitter. He needs the followers to catch up to Richard Lawson, who's with us today.
Exactly
he needs all the help he can get. We also have an Instagram, In the Limelight VF. This episode was edited and produced by Alana Milner. Thanks to Laura Mayer and Andy Bowers at Panoply. And thank you guys so much. Have a happy new year, and we will talk to you in 2017.